Chapter 4. Orbital, Aeolith, Continuous. Sonica opened the cell hatch and stepped inside. He put his satchel down on the steel table. "What, more cheese?" asked Grammaticus, snidely. He was sprawled on the cot, dispirited. "Get up, quickly," Sonica said. "But we haven't eaten our lunch," said Grammaticus. "Shut up and get up," Sonica told him. He looked back at the open hatch and the corridor beyond it. "Hurry!" Grammaticus sat up, frowning. "What's going on, Pedro?" "Just follow me." Sonica turned towards the cell door and peered out cautiously. Grammaticus rose to his feet. "Pedro, what is this? Has the Primarch agreed to let me drop with him and..." Sonica looked back, his eyes narrow. "Will you shut up? I'm doing what you asked. Keep a lid on it. Shear is everywhere." Grammaticus blinked in surprise. "Oh," he managed to say. "Just follow me and keep quiet," said Sonica. He opened the satchel over his shoulder and drew out a las pistol. Grammaticus looked at the weapon as if he'd never seen one before. "Oh, my word," he murmured. Pedro, just stop for a moment and look at me. Look at me. Control word, bedlam." Sonica turned and faced him. His eyes were vacant. "What's your name?" Grammaticus asked.
"Pedro Sonica."
"What are you doing right now, Pedro?"
"You're bidding, John."
"Glory," said Grammaticus. He stepped back, his hand to his mouth, staring at Sonica. "I didn't think it had worked," he said, laughing in surprise. "I really didn't think it had worked. All those lunches, 5 months of casual lunchtime conversations, dropping a weighted tell word in now and then. I thought you were resistant." Sonica remained blank.
"Pedro, I'm truly sorry to have abused you this way," said Grammaticus solemnly. "I want you to know that. We're friends, I'd like to think. You have shown me great kindness. I hope one day you will see the broader picture and forgive me for doing this to you. Do you hear me?"
"Your voice, I can't fight it," growled Sonica, glassy-eyed. "Every day I could feel you doing this and I couldn't fucking fight it. You took advantage of my disaffection. You're a bastard, John Grammaticus."
"I know. I'm sorry. Can you get me off this barge?"
"I can do my best," replied Sonica.
"Thank you, Pedro. Thank you.
Control word, bedlam."
Sonica blinked awake and steadied himself against the cell wall.
"What the fuck was that?" he asked. "I was dizzy for a moment."
"You were saying something," Grammaticus cued. Sonica shook his head.
"Come on, I was saying. We've only got a small window. The fleet is deploying."
"Already?
Come on, John."
They hurried down through the quiet detention block to the cage shutters. Sonica waved his hand and the cages withdrew.
"What's your plan?" whispered Grammaticus. "How do we reach the surface?"
"Drop pod," Sonica replied. "They're all primed and certified for the Legion's landing. We'll head for the bay on Underdeck 8. I checked the deployment schedule, and they've been assigned for the second landing wave in 6 hours' time, so it should be quiet. But there's something we have to do first."
"What?"
asked John Grammaticus.
"Something you'll thank me for. Something I need to do," Sonica replied.
They turned onto the vast spinal corridor and came face to face with a maintenance servitor. The servitor jolted, whirring as it studied them, upper limbs raised in query.
"This section is monitored and private. Show me your authority,"
the servitor's vox speaker rasped. Sonica shot it through the head. The servitor issued a thready whine and clattered sideways against the wall, smoke trailing from his exploded cranium.
"Run," Sonica said. They ran until they were hoarse and out of breath and cut away from the main spinal corridor into a maze of sub-halls and gloomy compartments. The strips of mauve lighting made it feel like twilight in an empty city. No alarm sounded, but the air was pregnant and still, as if it was about to explode with noise.
"Where is everyone?" Grammaticus asked.
"In the arming chambers, preparing for deployment," Sonica replied. He beckoned Grammaticus towards a heavy hatch shutter. "Here," Sonica said. Grammaticus put his hand to his temple. An expression of pain, wonder, and realization filled his face.
"Oh," he said, "I hear her."
"I know," said Sonica.
"She was calling out to me all the time, wasn't she?"
"Yes."
"Thank you, Pedro," Grammaticus whispered.
He looked as if he was close to tears. Sonica faced him and put a steadying hand on his shoulder. "John, listen to me. This will be a shock. The Alpha Legion interrogated her and damaged her in the process." Grammaticus looked at Sonica.
"I understand."
"I hope you do," said Peto Sonica, and waved his new hand in front of the shutter's lock reader. The hatch opened. In a corner of the small dark room beyond, something stirred and whimpered. Grammaticus pushed past Sonica and crossed the room, holding out his hands reassuringly.
"Hush, hush," he said. "It's all right. It's me."
Snivelling and trembling, Roxana looked up at him with wild eyes. She was pressed into the corner, her legs pulled in and her arms wrapped around her body. Her robes were tattered. She looked at his face and cried out,
"Roxana, Roxana, it's just a beard. I've grown a beard."
She put her hands over her eyes.
"Roxana, it's all right," Grammaticus whispered.
He touched her gently and she recoiled.
"It's all right," he repeated.
"Please be quick, John," Sonica hissed. Grammaticus embraced Roxana and rocked her. She buried herself against his chest and began to cry.
"What the fuck did they do to her, Pedro?" he asked.
"They let Shear have her. He went into her mind, looking for you and for any information on the Cabal," Sonica replied. "The process shattered her sanity. She's been like this since Nerth, 5 months ago. I've brought her food every day and tried to keep her clean and healthy, but she's little more than feral."
"Oh, Roxana," Grammaticus whispered,
hugging the Uxor to him and tenderly stroking the lank blonde hair that had once glowed like spun gold.
"John, please, we haven't got much time," Sonica urged.
He stood in the doorway watching the corridor outside. Grammaticus coaxed Roxana to her feet and led her across the dark chamber, keeping her tight against his side.
"I've got her," he said. "Lead the way."
Under Deck 8 was an extensive space of industrial metal, thick pipework, violet lighting and oily shadows. There was a constant background murmur of engines and the barge's heavy atmosphere plants. Every now and then a distant sound of tools or machine shop activity echoed back to them. So much pipe and duct work ran along the roof space, the access ways felt low and claustrophobic. Sonica brought them to a long hallway that had 8 massive blast hatches in its left-hand wall. Gigantic rotofans turned lazily in the roof cage. The identical blast hatches, each one large enough to accept a large transport vehicle, all stood open, waiting. They stopped outside the first of them, dwarfed by the hatch frame, and looked inside. 4 armoured drop pods sat in an oily black launch cradle, like bullets loaded into a revolver's drum. The chamber was lined with greasy black hydraulics. Feed lines were attached to the pods, and steam wreathed up slowly from the cradle mechanism.
"This'll do," said Sonica quietly.
He nodded towards the adjacent hatches.
"They're all the same, 4 in each."
"Whatever you say, Pedro. This is your plan." Sonica led them over to the far side of the hallway. Roxana remained clenched against Grammaticus's side. He watched as Sonica woke up a large cogitator system built into the bulkhead. Sonica called up several pages of data, touch-flicking through them, moving from one menu to the next. "What are you doing?" Grammaticus asked.
"I'm checking the navigation systems are programmed for the venue zone." "Yes, that's good. Set. Right, I just have to countermand the launch notice."
"What?"
Sonica gestured at the waiting pods behind them, and then carried on moving through screens and data scrolls. "When one of these launches, a notification will flash up immediately on the excursion monitor on the bridge. I'm cancelling that instruction. They're going to know we're gone soon enough, and it won't take them long to realise a pod's missing. But I'd like to postpone discovery for as long as possible."
"You can do that?" asked Grammaticus, impressed.
Sonica smiled and held up his new hand. "They trust me, remember? They've given me the highest clearance, built in."
"More fool them," Grammaticus grinned.
"This should only take a couple of minutes," said Sonica. "Down on the right, there's a locker store. We're going to need 3 sets of foul weather gear. See what you can dig out."
Grammaticus nodded and hurried to oblige as fast as Roxana would let him. They came back after 5 minutes with a bundle of suits tailored to fit operatives. Sonica was ready. Together, the 3 crossed back through the huge blast hatch and clambered into one of the pods. Sonica waved his hand. The massive blast hatch began to close. Hazard lights started to flash around the chamber, and a low electrical hum filled the air, mounting in intensity.